Out here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, going towards the end of the chapter here. Of course, we've been talking about the services, the roles that men would take in the service, to lead the service. We talked about how women, how God, that in no way slighting the women, but in His plan that the men took place and women were to learn in silence. And we find that God, as He created man, that He had these roles for each one of them. And we had got down to about verse 13 we had looked at. And in that verse where it said there that Adam had been created first and woman next, that when God created woman, she actually made woman from man, took a rib from man and created woman. And so we talked about in the beginning, from the very beginning, that Adam was the one who took care of the garden and Eve was his helpmate. And in no way in today's climate that women want equal footing in a lot of different things, that there are certain things, at least in as far as God's plan, that man was to be the lead when it come to, in his service, was to be the lead and the woman the follower. That's the way it was. So we went on. We read there in 1 Corinthians there, where it said that. And then we got down to verses 14 and 15 that we hadn't looked at yet. And it speaks about there, and this is talking about in the Garden of Eden. It says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control." So as it talks about this, it speaks here that the woman was deceived, but Adam wasn't. Well, did they both have the equal sin there? Yeah, they did. They both had equal sin. They both did wrong. Eve was deceived, and she fell to Satan. What about Adam? Adam knew it was wrong, didn't he? And he just did it anyway. But they both suffered from the same consequences from that. But it talks about women there. It talks about in verse 15, women will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness. What all goes in with that? Not just those few things there, but what is the role that God has for women? All right. Okay, so she has a very important part as far as the house goes, doesn't it? As far as children go, in raising the children. And I think you would say that in most cases, women probably play a bigger part than what a man does in raising children, especially when they're small. That the female is the one who generally takes care of the children, not just in a, I guess you could say, a physical way, maybe changing diapers or feeding them or whatever, but also a lot in their upbringing, things they learn. A lot of that is learned from the women. I know it certainly was in our house. Kim certainly did more of that than I ever did. And so women have a very important role, don't they? You think about that. The children today, what are they going to be tomorrow? Hopefully they're going to be the leaders, aren't they? All right. And so where does that start at? Starts at the very beginning, doesn't it? Beginning of their lives. So we look at that, and with God's plan, you think about it, the responsibility that women have is a very great responsibility because they're actually caring for the future of us. And when you look at this, I think that God has created differences. Women are not as physically strong as men. There's physical differences. But if you take it all and you put it together, how did God and man, or how did man, God plan for man and woman to be? To be as a team, wasn't they? Aren't they much stronger together? Each one has a strength, each one has a weakness, but when you put them together, and you put them together as a team, then that's when it's at the very best that you could say there. And you know, it's just the way God created. You know, I looked up and looked up to see what some of the differences of man and woman are, more than what the obvious ones that you can think about. And it talked about that women, and a lot of you that might be educators, that in tests, there are some tests that the girls score much higher on an average than what the boys do. They might have a different way of thinking. They have more, might have more abstract thinking, more creative thinking than what many of the males do. Girls mature faster than what boys do at an earlier age. And it talks about things that, as far as physical things, men, on an average, are, if you take upper body strength, they're 50%, or a woman is 50% as strong as what a man is with upper body strength. Lower body strength, they're about two-thirds as strong. Now, it did go on to say that there are instances, you take averages, but there are instances where one in every 20 men, a woman can be as strong as what a man is. But that would mean 5 out of every 100, which would be a very low percentage. And there are certainly things that we don't see that God has made differences in. Just the physical makeup of a woman. Women, their legs tend to be shorter for whatever reason. Their bone structure is different than what a man is, especially in the hip area for childbearing in what it is. One that I saw that I really kind of surprised me, and as I said, these are probably a lot of averages, meaning that there are exceptions to the rule. And I read this, and I kind of did a little unscientific study in our household. But if you want, go ahead and hold your hand out in front of you like this, where you see the back of your hand. And I've never heard this before because I know you're going to do it as soon as I tell you. A man's index finger is shorter, mostly shorter, than what his ring finger is. It's just the opposite for a woman. Most of the time, her index finger and ring finger are about the same length, or her index finger is longer than the ring finger. Now, that might not be the case for everything, and why is that? I don't know. It's just the way God does it, for whatever reason. But there's differences in man and women, and that's the way God created it from the very beginning with Adam and Eve. And as I said, whatever those differences are, when you put them together, then I think that's what God has planned for. Certainly that was from His plan from the very beginning with the Garden of Eden, that they were to work as a team to have the very best life that they could have in that. Now, does anybody have any questions or comments? Well, I think that from a public standpoint, that probably anything that you would think of that the man would take the lead, they're better at math. I don't know. But I think that it would be, now, can a woman count just as good as a man? Sure she can. Not saying that. But I think that what God, at least if you take the structure of His plan, that the men are to take the lead in probably, you would say, everything. And it might seem like a trivial thing. If you had one man, I know the congregation, Kim has an uncle down in Yeaman, Kentucky. A lot of times it's a very small congregation, obviously. He's the only man there. And there's times where he, of course, obviously with that, he does all the singing, leads the singing. He does the preaching. He probably can count pretty easy, everybody. But anyway, but he's the lead. Now, you could say, is there some things that a woman can do? Well, a woman could do just as good as him. Well, sure there is, but that's not the way God set it up. God doesn't have that. Now, and I think that you would take that as far as counting, or there are a lot of other things like that. I believe that it's in God's plan that you would say that would be a role that the man should do. But you go by that, does God ever tell us to count? It's different here, right? And use as an example. A lot of times, what you're speaking about, a lot of that, sometimes things are cultural differences. Obviously, there's cultural differences between Eastern Kentucky and Central or Western. Some people just do things different. We do things different here than what people in other countries do. Right. No. And things things like that do happen. Yeah, it doesn't make it right, but things like that do happen with it. And I'll tell you the same thing. I don't think that it would really be right that, you know, we have a man up here leading singing. I don't really think it would be right for a person sitting out here to do the same thing as she was doing, to try to lead singing from the pew, when this person up here that the elders have said, you know, has given the authority that they're going to lead the singing, that going to be to doing that same way. But that would be trying to usurp authority in that. And there's a lot of instances, but there is a separation between the services and what we would do here in class. You know, I guess you could say some things are just kind of natural that men do and that women do. You think about back there. Glenn's back there for people, somebody that might come in the door. Before services, Nancy stands back there and greets people as they come in. She'll stand outside the door here. Now, is there anything wrong with that? No, not a thing in the world wrong with that. That's good. But I wouldn't think that Nancy would sit back there and do it, that would be a man's role to do that. Now, does God say anything about that? No. He don't say anything in the Scriptures about standing at the back of the door and greeting people. But I think sometimes you have to use common sense with that. Beck? Right. And you know, people do things. And I think what you said there, Becky, is entirely true. There is a different political climate today than what there was 20 years ago, certainly 30, 40, 50 years ago. You know, there are things that happen that years ago you never even thought of. But it takes steps and little small steps, like you say, in things that happen. And a lot of times, do those small steps, do they seem pretty innocent at the time? They seem innocent at the time, and they can be maybe kind of innocent at the time when you think about it. But it leads up over a period of time that things happen. And I think that's entirely true. Very political, you might say. But I think in our political climate, in that things are changing, I think a lot of our politics are changing, that people at one point, you can't always say that there's a separation in church and state. And although we might think it that way, I don't think that maybe you can always say that. There might be a time that the government says, well, you know, if you want to keep your tax status of where you're not paying taxes on the money you collect as a congregation, you have to let women do whatever a man can do. Huh? I mean, and that could happen. Well, what part would we say? Well, I would think that we would just say, well, okay, we'll just pay our taxes then, because we're going to do it the way God says. And I think that that's the way God would want you to do it. That if the government says that, well, then you do it, but you need to do things the way he says. But things do change. People have different ideas on what they think is right and wrong. Well, as far as God's concerned, whether it's back in Ephesus or if it's in Louisville, Kentucky today, is there a difference in God and right and wrong? No, there's no difference in it. You know, the problem comes where man wants to say what's right and what's wrong, going against God's will. And I think that that's the reason that with these, as we looked at in the during the services, that men have roles, women have roles. That's the way he wants it, and that's the way it's to stay. Somebody else had. You only get one. No, you can have two. Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with what Becky said there. You know, if the elders said that if we was going to have a female back there stand there and count, would there be anything wrong if they tell her to do it? I mean, like Ethan said, there's no place you can go into scriptures and say that it's saying that a certain person has to, you know, has to be a male that would count. But like Becky said, I think that where people get away, or where they have problems, is they get away from two things. They get away from things that are natural and things that make common sense with that. And I think that's the problem that a lot of the world has today, or at least here, people have their own agendas about things, and they go against things that are natural or common sense that you would think about. And I think that would certainly be one. To me, it would be more natural for a man to count. You know, God hasn't said anywhere in here that the man has to do the counting, but I think it would be more natural for that. And you'd want to go against that nature, Ethan. Yeah. Right. And I think that's where it started at. Most problems that you see, where do they start? They start with leadership, don't they? Well, I think it's the purpose behind it is what is an issue. And that's the way with a lot of things. It's not the act itself. It's the purpose that is behind it. And I think that creates, it creates a very unhealthy environment if you're doing something that, even though God might not say specifically in the Bible that you do this, you don't do this, but I think when you're going against His general will, right, and like Danny said, the Bible is the authority. It doesn't matter what year, what culture, or whatever. It's the authority that God has. Yeah, I think it's talking about in the services is what it's speaking about there. Yeah. Well, it is. Learning would be, you can say learning's all the time. But I think in the context of what he's talking about in the rest of the chapter, when he's talking about prayer and different things, I think he's talking about during the congregation, during the congregational services, is what he's speaking about there with that. Anyone else? When you showed up. Yeah. Yeah. It is. It is rare. It's rare. Like I said, down there at Yemen, at times, a really small congregation, and her uncle, he pretty much had to do everything, you know. And he loved it when somebody else came, you know, like that could help him out. But I think it's the plan that God has for us. But you talk about teaching there also. I was going to look here at 1 Timothy 5:14. It says, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give them the opportunity, the adversary to speak reproachfully. So we see this role here that women, what they have in the house is a very important role there. All right, we've got a few minutes here. a lot less than I thought we might. And we're going to begin 1 Timothy. And of course, this is where we begin. We're going to have the qualifications of elders. Speaking about elders, and of course, these qualifications here, these are qualifications that God has said. It's not what man says, but it's what God says. And the role of an elder is a very important role that you're going to have in the congregation. A lot of times, like I said, a lot of problems evolve when there's weak leadership, isn't there? All right, to keep problems from happening in a congregation with people not coming up and saying, this is just what I think, and I think we should do this, or I think we should do that, God has created an office of the elders in a congregation that they make decisions about that congregation is what they do. Now, what's one big reason that you think that God has done that? To keep order. All right? If you have a lot of people deciding things, in my opinion, as good as yours, what do you have? Yeah, you have chaos. You have confusion, don't you? All right? And we know that God, He has set order. He set order that He has. Christ is the head of the church. We see that. But we have of the local congregation that He has created the office that have there, that the elders are to be the ones that make decisions there. If you have strong elders, you can have a very good congregation. What happens if you have weak elders? You can have a weak congregation. Yeah, you have a weak group of people. It's what you have there. So you know it's very important in the selection of these men. And you know it made me think back. You know, in the last month, where you had the selection of a Supreme Court justice, which is a more important job, being an elder or being a Supreme Court justice? Being an elder, aren't you? Because, you know, a Supreme Court justice, that's an important job as far as the government goes. You know, you're making laws or interpreting laws that affect a whole nation, 320 million people. But what does an elder, what's he holding in his hand? He's holding the souls of whatever amount of people that are there in the congregation. You know, anything that you do here on your Thursday, it's going to be short-lived. It's not going to last a long time. But eternity's, it's eternity. So he's got a very important role. And I think, and they hold their own. Yeah, that's right. You know, we talked about there about Adam, the decisions he made. It affected himself, doesn't it? It's the same way with elders. The decisions they make and the way that they oversee that congregation, it has a direct bearing on them also and what it does with that. And so I think that the responsibility that they have is the greatest responsibility that you could have. Because you're not only looking out for yourself, you're looking out for that congregation. You're looking out for those people also. But it talks about here, as we look into it, he says, "This is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." So we look here, and he says here where he makes this statement here, that a faithful saying. What's he mean when he says this is a faithful saying? It's from God. That's who it's from. It's not from Paul. Paul's speaking the words, but it's not from Paul. It's from God is what this is. And this term is actually used three other times in there. Of course, we used it in 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. It's used here. And in Titus 3:8, Paul says this again. This is a faithful saying. So what I'm saying here is from God. It's not from me. This is God that is saying this. And he talks about here, he says, a man desires position of a bishop. What else? What are some other things that we typically call them elders? What are some other things that they're called? Acts 20:17, it calls them an elder. What do you say, Howard? Overseer. We can see that. 20:28, they're an overseer of the flock, which would make them a shepherd, wouldn't it? Is what you would say there. In Ephesians 4:11, speaks about him being a pastor. Now, if you speak to people today outside in the world, what they have different uses of these terms, don't they? You know, I'm sure all of us have had some people come up and say to you at some time, "Who's your pastor?" And if you say, "We have five of them," they would just completely not know what you're speaking about when you say that. But what's their idea of a pastor? A preacher is what they think, is it? And it's the same way, religiously, if a person comes up, if you speak to, in a general term, to somebody of a Catholic, if you mentioned a bishop, if you said, "We have five bishops at our congregation," what would they think? That's what they think that you're talking about. Okay? So even the terms are the same, are they right or wrong in the way they can be used? Sure, they can be right or wrong because, as we said here, the Scriptures is God's standard. Now, what happened somewhere along the way? There's a drifting, okay, from the standard. You know, it's apostasy. It's what it is. You know, they'll take the Scriptures and they'll twist it and they turn it to match what they want. Now, if you went up to a person, a denomination, and you said to them, well, the man that you think is a pastor is really not a pastor, well, they would just think that, you know, you just don't know what you're talking about. All right? But you could go to the Scriptures and you could point to them, you could show them where God uses it, how He uses it, and what the meaning is behind it. Now, what they've done, they have taken that word and they've given it a whole new definition. Where we look at a pastor as an elder, an overseer, but they're thinking of a pastor as a preacher. And what they've done, they've given a different definition than what God means for it to be. And combined them is what they've done. Yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, why did they do that? I don't know. Everything. Yeah. And you know, you think of a lot of, I guess a lot of places. How much, I'm not saying that Justin's not important. He is. I'm glad we have him. But when you look at the structure of the church, how different is Justin than anybody else? Justin is a member that preaches, is what he does. Now, does Justin have any fine authority? Does Justin have any authority? Does he have any more authority than what anybody else would here? No, he don't. Now, some places, some denominations, how much authority do they give what we would call their preacher? They like to call them their pastor. How much authority do they give them? They give them total authority, don't they? You know, with that. But that's not God's plan. That's not what God meant for it to be. To us, a preacher is simply a man who preaches. That's how he makes his living. He preaches. But the authority that we have, it lies with the elders. They're the ones that have the authority in a congregation. And the world has a hard time, I think, understanding that. Even though it's pretty simply stated, you know, we're going to see here in Timothy that it's pretty simple when you read it, and it's not that hard to understand, but people still have a problem with it. And of course, it's not only that, it's a whole host of things that people have problems with. But this is part of it with the structure here that God has set. But it says here, he says, a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. We have, Bob's missing. We got two in here now. Is it an easy work? Well, I guess Ralph's back there somewhere. Is it a work? You know, Harkrider talks about it in our book. About if you've read it there, in that talks about being a work. Is it a work? Yeah, it's definitely a work, isn't it? Yeah, you know, Tommy was an elder at one time. Knows that it's work, isn't it? It's not an easy job. And sometimes you think about it, I mean, it's kind of like being president of the United States. You might look and you might think, well, why would I really want to do that? Because it's not something easy, and it's a great responsibility. All right, well, we'll start here next week then, right here at verse 1.